Chapter 4. Sko, report your damn status now. My navigator reads your ship as lousy with Psi-Force. Sko pressed the live stud on the Vox console. Stand by, Thekla. We have a few problems, but we're dealing. I want that ship burning, Sko. Thekla's Vox voice crackled. Burning and gone, with all its crew. That was the whole point of this protracted exercise.
Tell him to shut up, Madsen said.
Sko breathed deeply. We're getting there, Thekla. A few unforeseen setbacks. Please, stand by. He cut the channel.
Well, this is your plan, Mademoiselle Madsen. Impress me.
Madsen was with Ahenobarb, bent over Kinski's body. The psyker was jerking and thrashing in his stupor.
Gods,
Ahenobarb said. Ugly red wheals like a bite mark had just appeared on Kinski's throat. Bright arterial blood began to leak out of the psyker's lips. His jaw clenched.
Rav Enno,
he gurgled.
Damnation, said Madsen.
Mamsel, Sko said, it appears this also perfectly wrought trap of yours is coming apart at the seams.
I, Madsen began.
Shh, Sko interrupted. He raised a hand and listened to the voices of his men coming over his microbead earplug. Then he turned and looked at her.
I think you should sort things.
What? Kinski is...
Sko slid his long las out of the leather boot on his back and armed it. He didn't aim it at her, but the threat was very clear.
I'm taking charge, Madsen. You've ballsed it up this far. My men report they have the shipmistress and one other cornered at the far stern. Get down there. That's clearly the location of her backup. Get down there and make things good so we can resume control. Dump this hulk into the star and be gone.
Madsen drew her auto-snub and glanced at Ahenobarb.
Eight, she said. You're with me, Ahenobarb.
I think that's best, Sko replied.
Madsen and the giant hurried away, out of the bridge hatch. Lasbolts and solid slugs were impacting all around them. Priest and Methuen had to stay low behind the console, parts of which were shattering off under the gunfire. There were at least five of them out there, Methuen reckoned. Three on the deck, two on the gantries. They had them pinned. He couldn't raise his head enough to squeeze off a shot, let alone allow Priest to complete her work. They were just waiting to die. Kara switched neatly out of the doorway and rattled fire from both guns. This time she aced. One of the hunters, approaching overconfident, went over. But she was down to her last two clips. She looked across at Ravenna's chair. Battered, holed, it was silent, as if it was empty.
I became a cyclone, sweeping away the shoals of his mind darts like leaves. Kinski dropped low beneath my storm force bow wave and lunged upwards with a mental lance. I changed into a glittering avalanche that fell on him and snapped the lance, but Kinski slid away like oil and drove the broken-off spearhead into my side. Psi energy drizzled out, spattering like blood. I shook off the pain, turned, and exhaled a gout of pyrokinetic flames that ignited Kinski like an oily slick. Flames roared up, pink-hot, sour, fierce. I heard him scream. For a second, I believed I had beaten him. But then he rose up out of the flames. He wore his human form for a second, laughing at me, arms wide, his hateful eyes becoming little secondary mouths that laughed along. The fire slid off him harmlessly. So be it. The fight was not over. We threw mind traps at each other, traps of increasing complexity and ingenuity, bright, intricate things that snapped open, bit shut, became spiked, became corrosive. He and I brushed them aside, and the blizzards of thought daggers we launched once the traps had failed. Then we closed again, our non-corporeal forms shifting and changing rapidly as we tried to outthink one another and prepare for the other's next ploy. Undecided, our ectoplasmic shapes bent and twisted and malformed, rupturing like the skin on boiling milk, puffing out like cysts, spurting like soft lava. Kinski suddenly became a bruised, squid-like form that lashed at me with 20-meter-long tentacles. I had already raised overlapping shields of mind-plating, but they buckled under the blows, so I slid the plates apart and then closed them like a vice on the tentacles when they whipped in again. Several snapped.
Dark clouds of inky pain and anger squirted from the severed ends. While he was still reeling, I rolled my non-corporeal form into a porcupine ball and launched a shower of quill shots at Kinski, pinning the ministry agent's mind against the sliding fabric of space-time. Howling, Kinski tore free. Reality was so badly damaged where I had pinned him, the noxious infernal light of the warp shone through the punctures. Kinski pulsed, reforming. For a moment, he was humanoid shape again. Then that split apart as something vast grew up out of it. A thing of smoke and darkness, beaked, eyeless, a primordial ravager from ancient myth. Nothing seemed to stop him. He was a monstrously powerful psyker. I had the edge in terms of training and practice, and this gave me real finesse. But I was nothing like as powerful as Kinski's crude, unstructured mind. I would not lose to him. I refused to be bested by such a feral mind. But steadily he drove me back across the Enginarium. The Hinterlight shuddered violently. On the bridge, Sko saw hazard alerts begin to light up all the station displays. He looked at the nearest one as another thump shook the deck. What was that? Were they being fired on? The scope said yes. Two hits, amidships. Starboard hangar voided. Hull damage. Fire in the real space drive chambers. Locked open doors had slammed automatically as the emergency safety systems had cut in. Astounded, Sko activated the main beam vox.
Thekla, what the hell are you doing?
Firing on you, of course, the vox gurgled. I'm tired of waiting, and I'm worried that Inquisitor bastard has got loose.
Thekla, Sko snarled. Cease fire!
The Hinterlight bucked again.
Can't do that, Fever, sorry. I have to make sure that ship and its crew are dead, and if you won't be a sport and dive it into the star for me, what can I do?
Nothing personal. Another brutal shudder. Klaxons sounded. Sko could smell smoke now.
You bastard, Thekla, he said.
Whatever. I recommend you get off that death trap fever, my old friend. I'll be waiting to pick you up. But hurry. I intend to make short work of that ship. The vox went dead. As if to prove the shipmaster's point, the Hinterlight shook again. Sko picked up his long las and headed for the exit. There was an escape module compartment close by, at the end of the midship's companionway. He was halfway down it when Harlan Nail came through the end hatch. They saw each other at once. Both started to fire and move simultaneously. Firing his long las from the hip, Sko hurled himself to his right towards the cover of a bulkhead. Nail's bolt pistol came up blasting. He threw himself into an almost full-length dive towards a side hatchway. The two powerful weapons blazed at each other up and down the companionway, raising a veil of smoke and riddling the wall plating with dents and holes. Neither man had much in the way of cover. Nail's bolts chipped and whined against the thick bulkhead concealing Sko. The hunter's las shots fireballed and deflected off the hatch housing where Nail was tucked in. Stalemate, at least until one of them ran out of ammunition. Sko didn't believe they had that long anyway. Thekla's batteries would have the Hinterlight dead in just another few minutes. He had a better idea. Ignoring the bolt rounds slamming against the bulkhead, he popped the power clip out of his rifle and replaced it with another from his belt. Special load, hot shot, useful for when big game got really big. Under these circumstances, at this range, the round would go right through the hatch housing, and the idiot standing behind it. Against the dazzling backdrop of the fire-tide storm, the October country closed in, its weapon turrets flashing every few seconds. Neither ship was a military-class vessel, and neither possessed the sort of fleet-grade weaponry that could annihilate a rival instantly. But like most rogue traders, the October country had enough firepower to take care of itself. Its sustained bombardment would eventually blow Priest's ship apart. Drifting helpless, shieldless, the Hinterlight soaked the damage up. Sections of plating blew out like foil. Scabbed patches of hull crackled with shorting power sources or glowed red-hot. Inside, significant chunks of the ship were obliterated, hauled to space. Others were auto-sealed, ablaze. Madsen was still heading for the stern.
"We should just take that bulk lifter and go,"
a Henobarb ventured.
"Go where?" Madsen replied. "That's hardly an option. God, Emperor, I can't believe Thekla could be this insane."
What do we do then?
Urged Ahenobarb. Carry on. We deal with Priest, shut down her tinkering. Then we've got control back. I can raise the shields. Stop that madman from blowing us apart.
Ahenobarb looked doubtful, but he was used to following her orders. The deck shuddered under another impact.
Come on, Madsen said.
She had been intending to shortcut down through the real space drive chambers, cutting a good 5 minutes off the journey, but the doors to the drive room were sealed.
That chamber is blown out,
Ahenobarb moaned, and started to look for an alternate route. Madsen looked at the door panel display.
No, there's still pressure, but there is fire. It's worth it.
She took a multi-key out of her hip pocket, pressed it to the hatch control, and overrode the lock. The hatch swung open. Heat and scorching smoke swept out. Fires were blazing through the long, double-story drive rooms, and alarms were singing all over the place. Coughing, Madsen led the way out along the main gantry walk, ignoring the heat from below. Kiss and Zale had felt the first brutal impact of Thekla's attack, and quickly found themselves driven back through the drive chambers by the inferno kicked off by a damaged power capacitor. Attempting to exit, they'd discovered the section hatches had locked automatically. They retraced their steps, desperate to find a hatch that would open to them. It was getting hard to see, to breathe. They clambered their way up the hot metal of one of the gantry ladders to escape a new wall of flames that had sprung up, but now fires were licking into the upper levels of the chamber too.
Back, back, Kiss screamed at Zale. We have to go back and...
Behind you, Zale yelled suddenly. Ahenobarb appeared from nowhere, out of the smoke. He swung at her. Kiss tried to draw her pistol, but his fist hit too hard, too soon. She went down on the gantry mesh, her gun falling away down into the flames. Ahenobarb bent down to pick her up. She only had her bowline left. She drew it and stabbed it into Ahenobarb's calf. He bleated with pain. Tearing out of his hands, Kiss punched the blade in under his nose. Ahenobarb fell backwards, over the rail, into the boiling fire beneath them. A bullet hit Kiss in the left shoulder and spun her back down onto the gantry decking again. Starkly lit by the flamelight, Madsen advanced towards her, gun raised. A section of the gantry behind Madsen folded and toppled away into the inferno.
I told you what I'd do if I saw you again, Kiss said, struggling up to meet her.
What, kill me? Madsen answered. She sneered and raised her auto. Kiss turned. She had no weapon. There was a bloody hole in her left shoulder. Madsen began to fire. Kiss flipped the fish scales off her collar stud telekinetically. One, two, three. Spinning, whirring, they sliced into Madsen's windpipe. Limbs flailing, weapon firing, Madsen fell backwards off the broken gantry and plunged away into the firestorm.
Come on, Kiss yelled, staggering back to Zale. Come on!
They ran as the drive room began to collapse around them. The bridge was empty. Kinski's body lay in the second helm station. Hallstrom lay in the command throne. The display screens and hololiths showed how the October country's guns were punishing the Hinterlight. Kinski twitched in his coma. A smile twitched on his lips. It had been a hard fight. Certainly the hardest side duel he'd ever fought in his life. He had to give Ravenna that much. But it was at an end now. Far away in Enginarium Basic, Ravenna was down, dazed, pinned, and Kinski's non-corporeal jaws were closing around the Inquisitor's throat. As a final artistic flourish, Kinski's mind form sprouted venomous teeth to deliver the coup. With a ghastly intake of air, Wiston Frauke sat up. A bubble of blood bulged at his nostril and popped. Slowly, very slowly, he pulled himself upright and bent over Kinski.
Hey,
he said. He slapped Kinski's cheek.
Hey.
Swaying back, Frauke produced his low-stick carton and his lighter. He stuck a stick in his mouth and lit it. When he exhaled, smoke puffed out of the hole in his chest, too.
Frig, these things'll kill you,
he said, to no one in particular. Then he leaned over.
Hey,
he said again, kicking at Kinski's leg. Kinski remained still. Frauke reached up and deactivated his limiter. Suddenly, shockingly, sucked back into his own skull, Kinski thrashed and woke up. Feebly, he reached out and looked up at Frauke's face. Frauke took the stick out of his mouth, exhaled,
put it back between his lips, and leant down. He took Kinski's skull in his hands and wrenched it around. Kinski's neck snapped with a pop.
"And there you go," Frauke said.
He switched his limiter back on, took the low stick out of his mouth, and fell over.